Well, hey, everyone. Here we are for this week's culture segment. And we thought it would be fun. You know that here at The Boundless Show, we talk about all kinds of things pertaining to relationships, life, and faith. And we're going to land on life today in this segment, specifically career and the workplace. And so I'm very privileged to have Jackie Kintz in the studio. Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Good to be here. You have heard Jackie on the show before. She is one of our I'm just going to say like chief HR / recruiting people here at Focus on the Family. Do you have like an official title? Because sometimes I don't use them.
I think I do. I'm actually a director of recruiting and volunteers.
Oh, see, she's a director. She just directs people to do that kind of stuff.
Point, go here, go there.
And volunteer. So if if she doesn't want to pay you, she's just like, you know what? Maybe you should just volunteer.
Right. Or if we have great conferences on site, that's a great opportunity to come
we
volunteer.
We do. The best one being Pursuit.
Absolutely.
Which happened last summer. Woo woo, and is happening again this coming summer. Whoa, big time. Okay, so you're going to help us navigate. We're talking about a little bit. I think we have a lot of people in our audience in the workforce or not in the workforce who either feel that they are underemployed or they, you know, are frustrated with being unemployed. A lot of young adults feel they have this vision for where they would be and what they'd be doing, and they're not there. And some of it comes down to education, but some of it just flat out comes down to strategy in job hunting and interviewing and getting yourself out there. I am not super old, but I do remember the era when I was like, I remember being in high school and college and looking for jobs, and you pulled out like classified ads, and then it was like the internet came and you started looking online. And now, I mean, you can like tweet for jobs and you can put stuff on Facebook and LinkedIn and stuff. So Jackie, we are looking forward to you kind of weighing in here as we just kind of casually have this conversation about the employment scene and what it looks like. So the first thing I want to bring up to you is when we're talking to a largely millennial audience, I have been blazed away recently in hearing about young adults who are coming out of college either with a degree or an advanced degree and are still finding it difficult to find work. So we've seen research recently here at The Boundless Show where there are just quite frankly not enough jobs or enough professional jobs for this demographic. And we've been told that many millennials are going to have to create their own jobs in the coming years and what that's going to look like. And so I want to know from the get-go, is there, like, as you're seeing and you know, what you've seen here at Focus in potential candidates come through, are you seeing that trend? Like, are there more degrees and advanced degrees coming from people? Are there a lot of like multiple degrees where they're switching careers or switching education up? I mean, what are you actually seeing come through now?
Yeah, I would agree, Lisa. We're seeing all of the above. And it's really kind of an interesting time because I think for students, they're pursuing maybe multiple degrees or perhaps they started on one path and they took a turn. So kind of the education environment is changing or how people look at work is changing. I think things are starting to change for employers too. So we have both of these dynamics going on at the same time. I think there are some organizations, their approach is still pretty traditional, but they're caught between the way they've always done it and new ways that people are looking for jobs, new expectations that people have for their jobs or from their employers. And so we're seeing these two worlds kind of converge and sometimes, quite frankly, collide. So as people are out there looking for jobs, one thing I want to say kind of right off the top is have some patience with your recruiters too, because they're learning a lot of new things as well and having to think differently about how they look and how they hire for jobs. So it's a very interesting time.
So I want to ask you, because you referenced the traditional approach, let's just talk for a minute here about the resume. Is there like validity still to the resume? I mean, it used to be, you know, you typed up your resume and you updated it and you scented it and you did all kinds of craziness and sent it out and tried to throw chocolate in there or whatever, bribes and who knows what else. Is there value still in putting a lot of effort into a resume, or are you seeing people use online applications more, or what should a young adult job seeker have in their arsenal as far as info about themselves?
Yeah, the resume is still very important. I agree that there's a lot of connecting you can do on social media. Some of that can be very informal relationship building, which I think is very important, but there will come a time in your job search that you kind of switch that phase and you actually become a candidate. Mm-hmm. When that more formal process starts, the employer is going to want to see a resume because they are looking at that and it's telling them a lot about who you are. Your resume is your marketing piece. It's mm-hmm. your advertisement. So it's very important, and having it presentable, easy to read, free of spelling errors. Some of those very traditional things still mm-hmm. play a role in it because it is kind of the first formal look that an employer is going to take at you. So it is very, very important how you craft it. And one thing that I like to encourage people to do that are looking for jobs, resumes typically aren't one size fits all. You can kind of have your basic go-to that mm-hmm. you start from. But as you begin to apply to different organizations, go out and look at their websites, talk to people that work there, and begin to learn the language of that organization so that when you're writing things on your resume, you're using very similar language. Now, I'm not meaning cut and paste from their website because, you know, while we may not be the smartest people on earth, we can pick that up pretty quickly.
If every one of your acronyms is based on their website. So,
if they speak very formally on their website, use a little bit more formal language in your resume. If they're very casual, pick that up. You can glean a lot about the culture of the organization by looking at their website. And so if you want to present yourself as someone that's going to work well there, mm-hmm. kind of a similar, it'd be like going to a different country. You would learn some basic things in their language or learn some customs so that you don't mm-hmm. go there and offend people. So you can do the same thing in a job search with your resume.
Okay. So what, just hanging on resumes a little bit here, what you see hundreds of them, probably for a single position, you can get hundreds in. What on a resume stands out to you? What's the first thing you look for? Because for me, I need to not see resumes that have paragraphs and paragraphs of information. I'm like, folks, this is not an essay contest. I just need to know what you did and what you're good at, okay? That's all I'm saying. But what would you say, Jackie?
Well, I would say amen to that, Lisa. And presentation is key. Mm-hmm. So there are ways to present well, to be unique. But don't go overboard with unique. Too cutesy isn't good either. I've seen people use the curly font.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of like, wow, okay, not so much. But
unless you're working for Willy Wonka or something.
Yes. Yeah. That, again, there's always exception to every rule. But you are exactly right. Make it very readable. There's so many great templates out there that people can use to kind of organize your information. And again, put what are the top three things you want this employer to know about you, and make sure you put them at the top. Mm-hmm. Because all of the things that you hear about how quickly recruiters look at resumes, it's very true. Mm-hmm. And especially recruiters that have been doing the job for a while, they know what they're looking for. And so they're scanning first to see if they can pick that up. Mm-hmm. And for people on the beginning of their job search, I'm going to say this, and it might hurt a little bit, but if you're coming out of college, and I know you've just spent thousands and thousands of dollars on a degree, and you're very proud of it, and your family's proud of it, and we're proud of you for doing that, I would still list your education a little bit further down. What happens when you put that first is a recruiter will see that, and in their mind, they're going to think no experience. Mm-hmm. And that may not be true. Mm-hmm. You may have experience following that. But when they see that first, their mind often goes to, oh, recent college grad, no experience, I'm moving on. Mm-hmm. So you can still highlight what you've done in your education. And we want to see that. It's important. But include it after kind of those key things of what you're going to bring to the organization, is specifically to a position for which you might be applying.
Yeah, and this is why I would say absolutely rock the internships if you have the opportunity to show that you've been in a company, you've been in the business that you're interested in, you're a go-getter, you've put it out there. I mean, that is actual bona fide experience that I think is helpful to
It is very helpful.
Illustrate.
It's very valuable. And not only just from an experience standpoint will a recruiter say, wow, they've actually been working, but it will speak to them of all those things that you just said. We all understand when you're going to college and you're taking a full load, that's a job in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But if we see you've gone above and beyond to either do internships or volunteer, mm-hmm. if you're in organizations at your school where you're volunteering and they require a certain amount of commitment or leadership, and that those all bring value, and we want to see that.
Cool. Let's move on a little bit to the interview, because I think the interview to me is super important. I mean, I certainly go through resumes. I look at where people are on paper, but I'm kind of like, if I don't think you are passionate about this position, if I do not want to do lunch with you or sit near you every day, you're gonna be hard pressed to get on my team. And so I want to talk about, you know, what, and it's funny because I was just talking to my sister about this, who was talking about a job that she interviewed for, and she's like, yeah, it didn't go really well because at one point I just burst into tears. So bless her heart. She
We've
got
seen
very
that.
Worked up about it.
Tell her she's not alone.
What do you see? What are some of the best things you've seen and a couple of the worst things you've seen as far as someone who moves it into real time and real space in an interview process?
Yeah, I think it can be hard to prepare for an interview because they're done different ways. But number one, research the company and the job that you're applying for. And you can. There's a lot of information out there. You don't have to be the expert. Mm-hmm. But take a look and be able to speak intelligently about the organization and the position and how you might contribute to that. The other thing, you can underdress for an interview, but you really can't overdress. So what I mean by that is if you get there and they have a very relaxed culture and everybody's dressed casually, that's okay. The fact that you put the effort in to come looking professional, looking your best, looking like you care, that will weigh in your favor, even if after you get there, you're wearing jeans and hoodies and all of that. So err on the side of overdressing for an interview, again, because it's that first look that someone's going to see when they see you walking through the door. The other thing is I know nerves can be high. Those are kind of high stress situations. So just try to relax and don't worry if you need to take a few minutes to thoughtfully answer a question. Saying things like, that's a great question, let me think about that for a moment, if you're kind of caught off guard, or even, that's a great question, I'd like to think about it for a moment, can we come back? If they say no, say, okay, give me just a minute, and then think of your answer. But don't be afraid of a couple minutes of silence. I know it feels like an eternity, but the recruiter would rather hear a thoughtful answer than something just made up off the top of your head that has nothing to do with what they're asking you about.
Yeah. What are a couple things, Jackie, that everyone should be prepared to answer? I mean, it just amazes me that people go into interviews and they're like, oh, I can't believe they asked that. And it's like, seriously, it's like in every manual for interviewing. What are the things that they just need to know?
Yeah. One, be ready to answer why you applied for that job. Mm-hmm. What are you bringing to that job that would set you apart from other candidates? And it doesn't always have to be that you've had the most experience or whatever. It could be just ready to talk about your passion for what that organization is doing. A lot of companies right now, because of the economy, there's been a lot of downsizing, whether it's nonprofit or for-profit, and they need people who can wear a lot of hats. And typically, people who are passionate about what that organization is doing, they're going to come in ready to do whatever. So recruiters are looking for that kind of passion, for that kind of alignment in what you feel you're good at doing and what the organization needs to have done.
Okay. How important is follow-up from an interview? Whether it's a handwritten card, whether it's an email, is there a preference for one thing or the other? Is it possible to be too badgery? Should you wait or hang back? Or I feel like I'm talking about dating here.
But it's, there's a lot. It's very similar, actually.
There's a lot of similarities,
there
I feel.
There is a lot of similarities.
So what would you say best practices are in that realm?
I would say good manners never go out of style. So some kind of thank you, whether it's handwritten or an email, both are appropriate, both are appreciated, are really great to get within a day of the interview. And I would also say be careful not to be too badgery. Recruiters are seeing a lot of resumes. They're trying to get back to people. If it's been a week and a half or 2 weeks and you haven't heard anything, you know, drop an email, you know, let the recruiter know, hey, I'm still interested. I don't know if you guys have made a decision, but I'm still interested. Enjoyed our time together, and let it go. The phenomenon is the recruiter on the other side of the process has more than they can probably get done. And so days are going past rapidly for them, and a week will pass and it feels like it was yesterday. You're on the other side waiting to hear. And so the time is dragging for you. And so those two are kind of out of sync with each other. So if they haven't gotten back to you in a week, that's not unusual. Give it about another couple of days to 2 weeks. They will appreciate that. They will appreciate knowing you're still interested, but they will appreciate that you haven't become their pen pal.
Okay. And then finally, just a few thoughts here on if you know, thinking of a young adult who is whether out of college or someone who's maybe wanting to transition in their career. I know, and we talk to all y'all out there about, Jackie alluded to it too. Don't assume you're going to go in and be the CEO. Let's, work our way up, people. Be willing to do, what you're asked, and don't go in and say, well, anyway, let's talk about my 6 weeks of vacation. Not going to happen. But if you said from the start to the finish of the process, here are some things that I look for that I think are the top things that you could show your game with, the things that really, if you had to tell a young adult, this will up your chances of getting an interview, first of all, and getting you closer to the finish line than otherwise, what are the things that today's young adults need to know?
That is a great question. No. Can I have a moment to think about it?
Yeah.
Actually, there are a few things. I think because we're living in a time where so many dynamics are changing, what I like to see when someone comes to the interview or when they're writing their cover letter, we didn't really talk about the cover letter, but it's very key as well.
Yeah.
It is great where you can show not only what you're going to bring to the organization, but what you think you will get from the organization. So creating that two-way street. I think it would be great to work here because of this, and I would also like to contribute because of that. That shows employers that you're coming in with a level of passion, with potentially a level of commitment to what they're doing, and that will connect with people to see it be a two-way street. I think your point, Lisa, about I guess I would say right size your expectations. Mm-hmm. Know the company that you're applying to, know how things move there, and then come in with a right kind of expectation. Because good employers will want to invest in you, help you grow and develop, but they are there to produce a product of some kind. So that's their first priority. That is number one. Show how you can contribute to that. And then your development can come through that. Be a learner. Continue what you've done so well in school. Continue to go in and be a learner. But you also have an opportunity to say, here's how I can also contribute. There's kind of like two-way mentoring going on.
Mm-hmm.
Older workers can help you navigate the professional environment, but you can come in and help them navigate some of the newer social media technologies, things like that, that aren't part of their routine. And so you can come and bring that skill set with you as well. So there's a lot of great ways for give and take. And if I were going to boil it down, I would say that is a great place to start. Talk about what you're bringing, but also how you see the benefit of working for that company.
Yeah, that's cool. Those are great thoughts. And a way to demonstrate that as well. I mean, I know, here at Boundless, we work with young adults. We do a lot in the social media space. And it's always interesting to me when I have seen a candidate or even our interns in the past, all of a sudden I see them on Facebook talking up Boundless or posting about that or doing something where they're already showing their proactive nature towards
Absolutely.
Getting the word out and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was in the world of PR, it was very much about, I just said three things. I want to know that you can write. I want to know that you can sell. And I want to know that you have a presence in front of people, and whether or not you were a candy striper between May and August of the X year, not so concerned about, but I want you to put yourself mm-hmm. forward and show what can you do moving forward. So, I think those are great guidelines for that. It reminds me of just one other thing I would say. Whoa, I just have so many ideas. My niece just got her first real job, and her dream is to work for Disney. And she focused on Disney, learned everything about the company. Of course, she, you know, has been on the rides, let's be honest, people. But she just loves it. And she just got a job with Disney Cruise Line. She went after it, after it, after it. But she is in film and video. She took a job in their child care program and then offered them, how about if on the side I shoot some video for you and I volunteer my time to do that? And they're like, we would love that. And so she's using it as her little foot in the door. That's savvy, people. You got to do that. Okay. I'm just saying, good stuff. So yes. Thanks.
Jeff. Every job can be a good job.
Yeah.
Because you can learn something from every job that you have, no matter what. And it could be a stepping stone to the next one. So always think about what you're willing to do. There's always what you want to do, but what are you willing to do?
Exactly. And know that it can bring you into another season in the future. So
great.
Thanks, Jackie.